ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is the NT Country Hour on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory.
G'day there, my name's Matt Brand. It is Christmas Eve. Welcome to the Country Hour. The Weather Bureau has today confirmed that the monsoon has arrived. So this is our first monsoonal burst of the wet season, and there's already been some fantastic rain in the last 24 hours up to 9 o'clock this morning. Hodgen Downs Cattle Station is reporting 125 millimetres in the gauge. Dorisvale Crossing's had 102. 86 millimetres at the gauge at Hidden Valley Cattle Station. Noonamar's received 62. Merganella Airstrip's had 136, and the list goes on. If it's raining at your place this afternoon, let the rest of us know. Our text number at the Country Hour is 0487 99 1057. Justin Dyer is at Hayfield Station this afternoon. So Hayfield's about halfway between Elliot and Daly Waters. And Hayfield is wet. They've been getting some rain out there. Justin, tell us about the last week or so.
Yeah, g'day, Matt. Oh, wow, we've had a fabulous bit of rain here just in the last week. Measured another 27 this morning and still drizzling. I think we had 25, 21 the day before that, and another inch before, sort of in a few days before that. So, yeah, no, brilliant follow-up. It's really been a good start, I think, for us here. We had, looking at the records there, 60 mil on the 11th of October. And then we had another 60 in November, and we're up to 110 total for December. So, yeah, good early break and some good follow-up. So, it's, yeah, just beautiful here now, nice and cool. It's been cool for over a week. So that's helped the job, that's for sure.
So going into Christmas with that amount of rain already in the bank, how does that stack up compared to previous years you can remember?
Yeah, we do get dry Christmases here, not that often, but I certainly have memories of 18, 19. It was just like a furnace and dry this time of year. So, no, the last few years we've had a good start. So, and I think, well, earlier on this year, our last rain was in April. So, yeah, sort of 5 months of dry and back into it. So, yeah, I think the response is going to be really good. Still a fair bit of moisture in the soil, and it must be pretty widespread. The neighbours have had plenty as well. So, yeah, no, it's a really good start, really good start. Great to see a green Christmas.
Is the Newcastle Waters Creek, is that running sort of a bit to your, what, south?
I think it is. I think it did get a bit of a flush the other day, so I heard on the grapevine, can't confirm that, but yep. That's the word on the street, yep. Yeah, I reckon they had some good falls there, 4 inches and better.
So that is a very nice Christmas present for Hayfield Station. How's tomorrow looking at your place?
Oh, I think we've got 15 or 17 for lunch, so... Yeah, we'll get Lisa and the Sturt crew are up, and a few of our staff are here and some friends. So looking forward to it. Managed to get hold of plenty of – got my prawns in order in early this year. I think Brad might be bringing up a few oysters. So, yeah, no, it's looking good. Sal's in a cooking frenzy at the moment, making trifles and everything else. So, yeah, we'll – shaping up to be a cracker, I reckon. Nice and cool, so be a bit of outside badminton and cricket action, I reckon. We've got enough to field a side, I think.
The HCG, the Hayfield Cricket Ground, it's you'll be able to get a game in. It's not too wet for that.
No, it's not. It's just ideal, I reckon. Bit of softness underfoot. No huge puddles though. I'm looking out over the HCG here now. Now it's looking good. If we can keep it like this, it'll be ideal.
Beautiful. And just finally, as a cattle producer, how are you feeling about 2026?
Oh, pretty bullish. Matt, for sure. The domestic market is red hot. Live jobs, as good as it gets at the moment. Hopefully it flows through to next year, and I'm sure it will.
Yeah. I think if you've got green grass and you've got cattle to sell, surely next year is a good one for you, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's it. Hoping we get a good opening rate for the live export job and it stays firm throughout the busy period of the year, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Well, I hope the wet season treats you well and to your whole family, have a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, good on you, Matt. Appreciate that. You too. And Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there as well.
That is Justin Dyer this afternoon at Hayfield Station in the Territory. Bring on the rain.
G'day, I'm Brad Inglis from Sturt Plain Station, south of Dunmara on the Stuart Highway, and you're listening to the NT Country Hour.
It's Christmas Eve and the monsoon has arrived. And there's a flood watch in place this afternoon for parts of the Barkly, Carpentaria and Arnhem coastal rivers. The Bureau says widespread showers and isolated heavy falls are expected to continue through to the weekend across this flood watch area. Catchments likely to be affected, and this is a decent list. It includes the Roper River, the Towns River, Limon Bight, Rosie River, MacArthur, Robinson, Calvert River, Settlement Creek, Nicholson River, Georgina River and Eyre Creek. And across the border, I see there's a flood watch in place as well for northwest Queensland. It's been wet and there's more rain on the way. Jack Nielsen, he's from Two Rivers Station near Boolia in western Queensland. He picked up 36 millimetres overnight. There's more on the way, and he says rain at this time of the year is just perfect.
Well, I don't think you could order it much better. It's been flirting with us for about a week out here. really hot and humid, little, you know, galloping storms popping up most afternoons. And, you know, if you fell down underneath them, you'd be able to wash your hair at one end and keep your socks dry at the other. But, you know, it's been teasing us a little bit. And, yeah, since the forecast, and you can see that lows dropped out of the Gulf a bit. And, yeah, you couldn't really ask for better time here. There's still plenty of heat in the ground, which should bring the Mitchell grass, and especially if we can get everyone a good little drink out of this, everything thereafter is a bonus now from here until April. So if we can get up 50-80 mil out of this change, it'd be just amazing. Just, you know, the general nature of it's very encouraging to know that they, you know, it might not just be a one day thing, it might keep going for the week as they're predicting.
Yeah, and the forecast is looking pretty promising at the moment into the coming days. Some rain over Christmas, which I know would be very welcome. So how are you feeling about some wet days and, you know, maybe being in the stuck in the office for the rest of the week?
Well, it wouldn't matter us one bit if we get stuck here. We've had a bit of a look around now, and everything else from now is a bonus. Usually this creek here at the house stops us from going too far anyway. So if that's what's stopping us, we're very happy about that, Matty. But, yeah, mate, it's been a while since we've had an event like this around Christmas time. It's usually been a lot later in the year over the last few years that a proper event like this has started. So you couldn't ask for a better Christmas, Kev. That's for true. I hope everyone falls under a little bit. And, it's a really good end, way to end the year.
That is Jack Nielsen from Two Rivers Station near Boolia in western Queensland speaking to Matty McCosker. The monsoon's here. It's raining. Cattle stations are smiling. And it's Christmas Eve. I'll be speaking to the Bureau at 1:05 to get the latest on the monsoon and these flood watches. As always, if you've got a question for the Bureau, send it through on the text line. I've got a message here from Haggis on 0487991057. He says, mate, rainbirds have been working overtime. 106 millimetres in my gauge today to go with the 102 yesterday. Going to have to lock in the hubs, says Haggis this afternoon. It is 20-1 and you are tuned into the Country Hour. Up next, I'm taking you to the North Pole. Well, close to the North Pole. I'll be taking you to Finland for a true story, right? A true story about that nation's reindeer population. Apparently, reindeers in Finland, it's been a disastrous year for them. They've been dying en masse. What's going wrong with the reindeer population? I'll tell you after this tune by Slim Dusty. It's called Christmas on the Station.
With Christmas coming soon.
How good's that? Slim Dusty, Christmas on the Station. And it seems cattle stations in the Northern Territory on Christmas Eve have lots to celebrate. The monsoon is here. The rain is coming. It's just good stuff. Cattle prices are pretty high as well. It's a good time to be in beef. Now, on the text line this afternoon, gee, I love this. I love this when people let us know what's going on. We just heard a moment ago from Juddy there at Hayfield saying he'd heard that Newcastle Waters Creek had been flowing. Someone here is letting us know that Newcastle Creek is flowing. It's flowing into Lake Woods. And this person says it's come up real quick and is only about 1 metre from the causeway. Wow. There you go. Remember that year where people were stopping on the highway and fishing the Newcastle Creek, and there was just fish everywhere out there in that Barkly country? I can't remember what year it was, but there was just one year in particular where the fish were proper biting out there in the Barkly. Bring that on again, I say. Bring that on again. It's 17 to 1. Oh, I forgot to mention a bit of a shout-out to people in the cattle industry and the live export trade who are still working very, very hard. Between now and the 29th of December, if all goes to plan, there are 4 live export ships due out of the Darwin port. So they're not stopping for the Christmas period. That's busy. The Frisian Express, Girolando, Gloucester and Graham Express all due out over a few days over the Christmas period. So to everyone involved in the logistics and organising of all those cattle, keep up the good work.
Keep your garden growing strong with ABC Organic Gardener magazine. Inside you'll find summer pruning advice, organic pest solutions and our expert guide to eggplants at newsagents or abcmagazines.com.au.
Let's go to Finland for a true story and a horrible story, really, because reindeer in Finland have been dying in huge numbers this year and some of the locals are blaming Russian President Vladimir Putin. CNN's Isabel Young reports on a very unexpected consequence of war.
Russia's war in Ukraine is having far-reaching and surprising impacts. Even hundreds of miles away, here in Finland. Every year, hundreds of thousands of tourists from all over the world flock here to the Arctic Circle.
I have a feeling that you came to see Santa.
Finnish legend has it that this is the home of Santa Claus. But Finland's reindeer are in trouble. Thousands are showing up dead. And you might be surprised to know who people here blame. Russian President Vladimir Putin. Russia's border with Finland stretches over 800 miles, the longest of any NATO country. Juha Kujala lives just a few miles away. His family have been wrangling reindeer for over 400 years. He now sells reindeer everything, from reindeer yoga
like a reindeer
to sleigh rides.
Oh, poor reindeer.
What is it that's killing the reindeer?
Wolf is the worst. Mm-hmm. And they just kill, 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 kill. It's awful. This area, wolves, most of them come for the east, the Russian side.
How do you know that?
You see the tracks. They come for the Russian side.
Why do you think there are more Russian wolves?
That's the Putin who changed the world.
Putin?
Yeah. The soldiers and the young hunters, they hunt the wolves. But now they're hunting people in Ukraine. There's nobody anymore there left who's hunting wolves.
So do you blame Vladimir Putin for these dead reindeer?
Who could I blame? I could blame the whole world. Why this shit happened? It's getting worse after the Ukraine war.
In an effort to control the thriving wolf population, Russian men have long been paid bounties by the state for every wolf they hunt. But experts who track the Russian military tell us that recruitment drives into the war in Ukraine have been intense, leaving fewer people to hunt the wolves. Now, reports in Russian media say wolves are increasingly entering villages and towns. And it seems they're crossing the border. Extensive wolf DNA testing supports that theory. In Finland, there's been a dramatic rise in wolves, which are killing reindeer in record numbers. Sightings like these are increasingly common all along eastern Finland. That's something that will be difficult to stop. As tensions along this over 800-mile border are at their highest point in decades.
So right now we are with some Finnish conscripts in the northernmost part of the European Union.
Finland has increased defence spending and is carrying out large-scale military training.
Finland seems like a very optimistic but also very prepared country.
It's smart to prepare.
As Finland preps for the worst, Kujala is hoping for the best.
Hopefully, Mr. Trump, if you hear me, do everything to try to stop this war. If we cannot fix this wolf situation quickly, some part of the area gonna be without reindeers.
And what would that mean to you?
Like somebody took my life away.
CNN's Isabel Young with that incredible story from the top of the world. Dramatic rise in the wolf population, resulting in record numbers of reindeer being killed. My goodness. Now, don't worry, I have been informed that Santa has an extra high fence. And a certain group of reindeer, especially that one with the red nose, they're fine. They're ready to go.
G'day, I'm Brad George, and I'm captain of the Humpty Doo Fire Brigade, and you're listening to the Country Hour.
As people get ready for Christmas, a lot of farmers are still working hard, and the Royal Flying Doctor Service, it never takes a day off. The RFDS is, of course, a vital service to Outback Territorians. They're always there, ready to help. Charles Geary caught up with RFDS pilot Anish Gandhi about his Christmas plans.
We're sitting in one of RFDS PC-12s here, VH Foxtrot Victor Alpha. Over the Christmas period, it seems to be quite standard in terms of all year round versus Christmas. We do see some changes in the calls that we attend to, especially out in the outback here in Central Australia. People, particularly from overseas, might not realise how hot it can be. So we do see an increase in heatstroke-related incidents over the summer period or over the Christmas period. But other than that, it's pretty constant all year round.
When you work on this day, what's it like? And I guess what's the camaraderie like amongst the people who have chosen to stay and make sure people can get the medical care they need?
Of course, it certainly has its challenges being out here during the Christmas period and on Christmas Day, both physically and psychologically. As you mentioned, everyone from the Territory tends to head out towards the coast to see their families. So that plays a bit of part in, especially with social media as well. We get to see a lot more of what they're getting up to, which makes it a little bit more challenging for us being out here. It's also physically challenging too. As we know, it's summer. It can get upwards of 40 degrees during the daytime. If the aircraft's been outside, we can be stepping into an aircraft that's close to 50 degrees inside. So extreme heat. But when we're out there flying, you know, we're the second red belly in the sky. And going out there, helping the people in their time of need, that gives us that sense of fulfillment that no other job can. And when we're not flying, when we're on the ground here over Christmas Day, the people that have chosen to be here, they are our second family. So we're able to spend that time together because they're all in the same boat as us.
Is it having, I guess, that second family here that makes maybe working over this Christmas period just that little bit easier?
Oh, it definitely does. Someone that's not working on the day but is here through that period will host, say, a Christmas lunch or something like that. And so those that are working around their jobs, around their taskings, they'll pop in, say hi, have a bit of a feast, and then we all separate and get on with our days.
What does Christmas look like on an RFDS base? Is it a bit of Secret Santa, a bit of a Christmas feast? I love a bit of backyard cricket, personally. Do you get any of that here on the base?
No, not on the base. On Christmas Day, the RFGS base itself was probably very deserted. There'll be no one here unless we have to be here. We will be spending time at home with each other, and when the phone rings, that's when we'll respond and come out to base.
What would you recommend, or what is maybe just some of the things you ask for people to be careful of as someone who might have to come out and get them if something goes wrong?
Well, everyone's out there to spend time with their family and friends, and that's what we all want over the Christmas season. If you are travelling on the road or by air, if you're coming out to Central Australia for the holidays, be prepared. We know how harsh the outback can be. But if you do need us, the RFGS will be here 24/7, so just be prepared and be safe.
That is Anish Gandhi speaking to Charles Geary, the Royal Flying Doctor Service. What a fantastic institution. Now, there was a fatal accident on the Stuart Highway on the weekend with a 54-year-old male driver declared deceased at the scene. In the other vehicle were members of the Haig family from Methel Outback Hideaway near Tea Tree. That family was only on the Country Hour just the other day talking about their first barley crop. Danielle Haig has posted an account on social media. I'll share some of that with you now. Danielle says on Saturday the 20th, Heath, Theo and her were in a horrific car accident on the Stuart Highway returning home from our holiday at Kings Canyon. She says, "We are mostly okay with no broken bones, which is an absolute miracle after seeing our car. I've never been so scared for myself and my kids' lives. Watching this accident unfold in front of our eyes, and all I could think of was that I had to make sure my kids were out of harm's way. We were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. I can't disclose much more information as this is an active crime investigation," she says. "All I want you all to know is that we had a guardian angel watching over us, and we walked away from this. We are sore, bruised, sad, mentally not okay. But the main thing is we still have each other. I'm so sad for the other family who will not be returning home together this Christmas." Danielle says, "I'll be stepping away from socials and, well, everything until I can clear my head, concentrate on what the future holds for us and have some much-needed family time. We need time and we need some rest. Life in the bush ain't easy, but it's not going to beat us. This I promise. Hold those you love close, because life is just too effing short," says Danielle Haig. "I hope everyone's Christmas is safe and filled with love from the Haig family."
The summer of cricket just got hotter. ABC Cricket Magazine is out now. Full season preview, all the stats, profiles, scorecards and more in your essential season guide. Out now at newsagents and abcmagazines.com.au.
Rob Doyle here from Humpty Doo, Rambutan Grower. And you're listening to the Country Hour.
Matt Brown with you this afternoon. It's Christmas Eve, and my golly, I'm feeling hungry. I'm ready for a Christmas feast. In a moment on the Country Hour, I'll take you down to Fisherman's Wharf, where it sounds like plenty of Territorians this morning were lining up to get some fresh seafood.
It's been good. It's been hectic. We had a lineup first thing this morning, opened the doors 8 o'clock and people were flooding in, picking up orders as well as getting prawns and oysters straight away this morning.
Oh, yeah. I've got some thumping big prawns to enjoy tomorrow and some fresh mangoes. Oh, gee, I'm hungry. Let's go to the Weather Bureau. Sally Cutter's there this afternoon. How are you, Sally?
Not too bad, thanks.
What's the highlight on the Christmas menu for you tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just having a quiet one. It's just a good chance to be able to switch off.
I get that, but you still have to eat.
Yeah, I'll see what's in the fridge.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Now, big news today. The monsoon has officially arrived. What can you tell us?
Well, in the last 24 hours, we've had those northwesterly winds at the low levels and the southeasterlies at the high level of the appropriate strength. And if anybody was looking at things yesterday, you would have, the morning was a little bit round, and then you had these lines coming in sort of during the afternoon, and the west coast was got fairly active. So it was, that was so probably the head of this, or the part of the increase in the winds. But we're going to see that continuing for a couple of days. So those wind, those showers coming off the, off the water, they're not going to be many storms in there, though we are going to see some storms probably bubble up this afternoon. And then we've got that low, monsoon low down over the northwest of the Barkly district, sort of just helping to suck everything in.
Yeah, so that's, the flood watch at this stage is very much focused on the Barkly and the Carpentaria. Mm.
Yeah, and it just sort of pops up into the Arnhem district because the, we've got the Roper catchment in there. It's mainly on the southern parts of the catchment.
Yep.
But it's, yeah, but the Roper catchment is included.
Just looking at the radar this afternoon, and you can see that classic northwesterly flow, and gee, it looks like it's flogging down rain at Goombalunya this afternoon as we go to air.
Oh, yeah, there's been some pretty good falls. There hasn't been that much at Jabiroo, the 1.8 so far. So, but there certainly has been a little bit of rain out there. Merganello got over 136 millimetres to 9 a.m. this morning. Doris Crossing at 102. Since 9 a.m. Central Arnhem Plateau's got 17.8 millimetres. A bit around Darwin Howard River's got 14.5. 11 Mile, Nuggets Lagoon, 14. So, we should see more coming in overnight.
I've got a few extra rainfall figures to share with you, Sally. So these are reports coming in from cattle stations.
Yep.
Hodgson Downs, 125 in the gauge. Hidden Valley cattle station, sort of at the bottom end of the Sturt Plateau there, 86.
Yep.
Sturt Plains near Dunmara, 46 millimetres in the gauge. And, yeah, I see Batchel Airport, 66. Warrawee, 64. These are good figures.
Oh yeah, any rain is welcome, and hopefully this isn't going to be too much rain. But the next, we'll probably see rain with the sort of those bigger totals until the end of the week. Then the load moves on, and we get a little bit of sun coming out, and then we go back to the chance of those showers and storms throughout.
Yep. So how far south will the moisture get?
The moisture with this current low is down to probably about Tea Tree.
Yep.
So it's got a fair way south. Most of the heavier falls the heavier clouds really in the Barkly, so just down to Barrow Creek, and in the Barkly, not so much in the Tanami, but we are seeing those showers and storms right across the area. But if you're to the south, it's actually sort of a little bit warmer. It's hot. Hot and windy is probably the best. Hot, dry and windy is probably the best way to describe it.
Gotcha. We've been sent a picture from our fantastic audience. Someone sent in a picture of the Newcastle Creek flowing towards Lake Woods, and it's a decent flow. They're saying it's about a metre from the causeway. So that's good rain already in the Barkly region.
Yeah, if anybody can still get on the website and see or anywhere you can see a satellite picture, you can actually see it swirling around in the Barkly, and just as with there's enough of clear skies over it that things are really starting to bubble. So we should get some good storms out of there again this afternoon.
Yeah, wow. So is Christmas Day almost the peak of this system?
Pretty close to it. It's probably, what's going to happen is it's going to go a little bit further west, then it's going to be hit, the monsoon surge sort of continues to strengthen for a couple of days, and then it gets pushed back on to the west on Friday. And then, so how far it goes, there's a little bit of variation in the guidance, but so over the weekend we'll probably see it getting towards the Queensland border, if not over the Queensland border. So probably another 2 days of the heavy rain and the overcast conditions, and then things will start easing off on the weekend.
Yep. All right, anything else you think we should know this Christmas Eve?
No, just be aware that we do have the flood watch, so as we've already seen, the creeks are rising. We might also see some heavy rain that may lead to flash flooding, so not only to just the gentle rain that's causing things to rise, but we could see some spikes, the rivers coming up quickly. And also remember that as you get further down the catchment away from where there's heavier rain, it's that water that's fallen up in the heads of the catchment. It's got to come down the river, and so you might see some rises a bit further down the creeks and rivers.
Yeah. All right then, Sally, have a wonderful Christmas.
Will do, thanks.
Join the ultimate party this New Year's Eve across the ABC with a massive lineup including Melanie C, plus the famous Sydney Fireworks, audio described on the ABC Listen app.
Happy New Year!
On ABC TV and iView and the ABC Listen app.
We'll be tucking into some beautiful Christmas food in just a moment on the Country Hour, some territory tucker for Christmas. But before we do that, a group that represents food manufacturers in Australia is calling for a cap on the price of gas and says a gas reservation policy announced this week by the federal government simply won't go far enough to keep this sector viable. Energy Minister Chris Bowen says the gas reservation policy will put downward pressure on gas prices, but Patrick Roseman, Chief Executive of Food and Agri Australia, says it will not be enough and his industry needs help.
Our manufacturing sector needs more support than a maybe price reduction in 2027. I think we need to have a lower price confirmed and controlled by the government supporting domestic manufacturing. I'm not convinced that that level of ring fencing of domestic supply is going to be enough to reduce prices. It simply has to be a lower price for manufacturers. The government support other industries. Why can't they support food manufacturing that employs 280,000 Australians?
So you mean a price cap, like a cap on the price of gas?
It needs to happen for the manufacturing sector. Yes, it does. We need a cap on pricing. I know that the big multinationals that are exporting all the gas are making large amounts of money. We need to protect our industry. There's also food security as well. We want to support the industry. We don't want food manufacturing on skinny margins, leaving the industry. We want to have a robust food manufacturing sector that enables and supports job growth and also is thriving for exports.
So the workers' union say it's a historic victory for manufacturing and for workers, but you don't think it's going to be enough to enable some key manufacturing industries to survive?
No, I'm not. I think it's not enough. Clearly, it's not enough. As we've spoken previously, there's been significant large increases in the cost of gas. This is a token measure and not supportive enough. And we need to actually invigorate the industry, the manufacturing food industry, not put a band-aid on it.
Now, a number of times over the course of this year, Patrick Roseman, you and I have spoken about a gas reservation scheme, and now the government's delivered it. Why are you not satisfied with that?
Because it's not significant enough. There needs to be more done. If you talk to manufacturers around the country, the amount of cost that they're incurring is just simply too high. And putting a Band-Aid on it with a maybe 15 to 20% reduction is just simply not good enough, David. We need a robust strategy that's going to significantly reduce the input cost for manufacturers. I mean, the reservation system is a good idea, but maybe a 15 to 20% reduction when the cost of gas has gone up over 100 to 200% in some cases, it's a Band-Aid. And we don't need Band-Aids. We need structural change.
That is Patrick Roseman, who's the Chief Executive of Food and Agri Australia, which represents food manufacturers in this nation. He was speaking there to David Claughton. Does there need to be a cap on the price of gas in Australia? And just quickly on the topic of gas, the Northern Territory's Environment Protection Authority, the EPA, has ordered a review of gas facilities in the Darwin region to make sure they're doing the right thing and that human health in the Darwin region is being protected. Mitchell Abram has the details.
In October, oil and gas giant INPEX admitted to a calculation error, which meant benzene emissions at its Darwin LNG facility were underreported by 13,000%. The revelation came just days after a separate oil spill incident at the gas facility and raised safety concerns for workers and climate experts. In a statement yesterday, the NTEPA said the emissions did not warrant further investigation under Australian guidelines. But the authority has now ordered a review of all hydrocarbon licences in the Darwin region to ensure human health is being protected. Two additional reviews of INPEX's emissions are expected to be completed in the new year.
That is Mitch from the newsroom, keeping us up to date. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you got the presents? Have you got the food? I'll take you to Fisherman's Wharf next.
What's a funny name for a reindeer?
It's not a reindeer, it's a Burma!
Oh, yeah. What's a funny name for a kangaroo?
Right across the territory on the ABC, you are tuned into the Country Hour. It's Christmas Eve. Let's talk about food. I'm in the studio with Fiona Broome. Merry Christmas to you. You've been out with the shopping basket this morning looking for some great territory tucker. How did it go?
Oh, it went extremely well, Matt. Thrilled to say. I was all over town having a little poke around, seeing what everybody's got on offer. So I went through all the categories of the groceries that you could possibly think about. And I have to say, one of the things that I found whilst I was poking around and seeing all the delicious food on offer was all the community spirit between all the different shops and the businesses. So everywhere I went, I found that they were either stocking or about to supply the business where I was about to go next. So all the fresh food producers and distributors here in Darwin are sharing the spirit together. So I started in Rapid Creek. I was having a poke around there, just dropped into the butcher. You know, the butcher there is known for sort of specialty meats. He's
does beyond, camel and goat and all that sort of stuff. Yes.
Beyond your typicals, he's got your camel, your buffalo. And as I was there, he was wrapping up some goat that he was about to send down the road to MD Fresh.
Yep.
So I went in, had a poke around there as well, checking to see what people were in the market for. They were sending some fruit over to the Darwin Fish Market. So I headed down to the fish market. Absolute chaos this morning, Matt. Cars everywhere, punters lined up. They had to put up marquees outside the shops down at the Fisherman's Wharf because of the rain.
Ah, right, so that all the customers lining up didn't get drenched.
Yeah, so they originally were going to have everyone coming around the corners of the building lining up for the pre-orders, but they had to put up some marquees and change tack. So it was pure chaos down there, organised chaos, of course. But I did stop in at the Darwin Fish Market. Gabby Newman, the manager, did find some time to have a chat with me amid this hectic rush of people, and I found out what they had in store this year.
It's been good. It's been hectic. We had a lineup first thing this morning, opened the doors 8 o'clock, and people were flooding in, picking up orders as well as getting prawns and oysters straight away this morning. It's been pretty crazy.
What was your most popular seafood box this year?
So this year we decided to do a couple boxes, but the seafood starter box had a kilo of prawns, a kilo of bugs, and a dozen oysters. And I think I packed maybe 40 of them. Just pre-ordered, and that was online, which we did this year as well.
Now, you've got a sign outside that says we only have Australian seafood, so where have those items come from this year?
So we all year round, no matter what we do, only sell Australian. This year we've got our tigers, banana prawns, and some beautiful leader prawns. They are NT caught. We also have some lovely Coffin Bay oysters as well. So, yeah, all the fish is caught up here in the Northern Territory.
Have you had any trouble getting your hands on oysters out of South Australia, given some of the issues they've had there with algal blooms?
Not that I've been aware of from my the processing side of things, but from what I've been told, it's still coming from Coffin Bay.
Oysters still on the menu this year for Christmas?
Yes, definitely. Got plenty of oysters. They're getting freshly shucked from our guys down the back. They're doing really well with keeping up with how many we've needed. I think so far I've gone through maybe 500 dozen already. Yeah,
that's a lot of oysters. Now, there's a few things missing, few territory favourites missing this year. No mud crabs in?
No, so we did get our last lot of mud crabs flown in from Wadi about a week ago. They sold out within the first half an hour. We won't be getting any more until probably the new year because of all the new restrictions that have come in, but also then the cyclone happened. So lots of things has put stuff on hold in the way of muddies, sadly. But I do have some beautiful frozen mud crabs if people are still after them.
Any threadfin salmon in at the moment?
I've got only frozen thready at the moment. I've also got some frozen barra that we just received as well. Nice fillets, beautifully wrapped, ready to rock and roll.
So given there's a few favourites missing this year, what are people going for instead?
Well, without the crabs, what we're trying to help people out with, we're saying, letting them know we do have blue swimmer crabs. It's not the same, but it's still, you get a crab on your plate. But painted crays, we've got some gorgeous local NT painted crays in this year, and they are amazing. They're beautiful. We're also sold out of bucks, so we've got crays, which is, you know, we're trying to help people out with that as well. We've got them at a nice price as well this year.
What's the best way to eat those, the painted crays?
Painted crays, so we have, if you want, we've got them already cooked, so you just crack it open and you can eat it straight away with a little bit of garlic, a little bit of butter, if you want, mixed together. Otherwise, you can cook it on the barbecue. You can, I myself do like to boil or steam it, but barbecue is an option as well. Cut it in half, chuck it on the barbie.
We did learn on the Country Hour yesterday that there is a generational move towards pre-cooked and pre-peeled prawns that younger folks don't want to have to put the work in. There's quite a bit of interest in your cooked offerings?
Yeah, so with our prawns, we freshly cook them here ourselves, so they're not thawed out. People do tend to like that. Then they got a longer shelf life, they tend to find. A lot of people have been asking for cooked and peeled. Because we freshly do that here ourselves, they would have to be frozen. We have done a few of those this year, but there's nothing wrong with peeling them yourself, you know. It's the best part about Christmas, getting your hands in there, peeling a prawn, having some seafood sauce, nothing better.
Firmly agree. Now, if you're setting a Christmas table this year, what's going to be on your table and what would you have accompanying your seafood?
This year, well, I've got my mum flying up from Queensland, so she loves the NT seafood. I am going to have painted crays, mussels, pippies, oysters. I'm going to have some gorgeous tiger prawns as well because they're my favourite. So I'm going to have some tigers and then some scallops. I do like a full buffet. And always lemon with seafood. I feel keeping it simple with the flavours is the best way to do it. So a nice bit of bread, some fresh lemon, and yeah, lovely sauces that we have in the shop as well, which I've tried. We've got some good chili ones because I like a bit of spice. I go towards chili.
Lemon and chili on any seafood makes it better.
Yeah, lemon, chili, garlic, you can't go wrong.
Would you have any fruits on your table? Any fruits that you would say match particularly well with some of the seafood?
A lot of people try this year a few different ones. I've had a lady do a lot with mango, which is really quite good. Mangoes have done, and oranges. If you like to stuff like your whole fish, oranges are really nice for that citrus if you don't like the lemon. So we do have that. And for the kids, what I try to do for them is put a couple of mandarins on there as well, because we do like a seafood salad with a bit of fruit. So it's really lovely.
Gab, I want to be at your place for lunch. That sounds amazing. Thanks for taking the time to have a chat with me. It's still hectic here. I hope it quietens down at some point for you.
I hope so. But all I want to do is make sure everybody gets what they want on their dinner table this year. So we're going to stay open as long as we possibly can, hopefully until we sell out. That's the plan. Have a Merry Christmas.
Matt, that was Gabby Newman. She's the manager at the Darwin Fish Market.
I'm hungry, Fiona. I'm hungry.
How good does her table sound?
Absolutely, everything. Packed. Her Christmas table. That stat we heard yesterday, and you mentioned it in that chat with Gabby, I've told that many people because I can't believe it. 60% of us buy pre-peeled prawns. We're giving up on peeling prawns.
I don't know that I've ever bought a pre-peeled prawn. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's a whole part of life that I don't know about.
Can't believe it. We've become a nation of pre-peels. Have you done all your shopping? You're ready to go for Christmas, Fiona?
Ready to go.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, you have a wonderful Christmas. I'm actually supporting Australian barley farmers, and straight after the show, I've got a little something for you to enjoy.
Oh, that's
that
lovely.
That has barley in it. Folks, the Country Hour is going to take a little Christmas break. So we're not on air tomorrow or Boxing Day, but we're back on Monday, the 29th of December. The cricket should be going unless we absolutely flog the Poms. So because of a cricket day, we might be on different times, but we will be here on radio and online. Have a safe and wonderful Christmas and keep it rural. Christmas coming soon.